I want to come and tour Iraq. See the life that's so Islamic. Life can be so sweet on the Sunni side of the street. If you hear a loud attack, we'll just say the weather's balmy. Maybe we should meet on the sunny side of Tikrit. Let's all go walking at noon. Our streets are all strewn like a Flintstones cartoon. We've trouble with rubble. Maybe soon we'll have some luck, and at least we're less Saddam-y. Our state bird is the duck. On the sunny side, better run inside, get my gun and hide in Tikrit. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Oh, it's always so much fun to hear from the Capitol Steps. They began as a group of Senate staffers who set out to satirize the very people and places that employed them. It sounded like a good idea at the time. Well, since then, since they began, Capitol Steps have recorded over 30 albums, including their latest, How to Succeed in Congress Without Really Lying. They have a summer home, and they have had that wonderful summer home for the past 8 years. It's the Cranwell Resort in Lenox, Massachusetts. They will be there through August 31st, and we are delighted to have cast members Barry Byrne and Mike Tilford, who are in our studio with us this morning. Good morning. How are the two of you?
We are good. Thank
you. Good morning. We're happy to be here.
Well, it's very nice to have you here. Give me a sense of what summer home means to you. In the sense of, is it a place where you go and you say, okay, I'm going to have this residency for a while? Or is there another mission, like this is where we're going to try out new stuff, this is where we're going to do this?
It's sort of all of the above. It's a great opportunity. Since we travel pretty much all year and most of the bookings that we do are short term, this gives us an opportunity to try out new material, to take existing material and tweak it a bit. So I would say we do all of the above.
Yeah, plus it's a real advantage being up here because, as she said, this is one of our few real long-term kind of things.
Right.
And they'll have cast up here. There's the same group of people for 2.5 weeks together, which is not the Capitol Steps way. We have about 25 people. And generally, at home, you do a show one night for one person, you do a show, and it's a different cast every time you work. But up here, it's the same people. You can make things very tight, work out new stuff.
So if that is an advantage, why can't you just do that in the sense of have 5 people that go to every town?
I think because we have too many shows that for just 5 people. Currently, we have enough people in the group to do 4 different shows anywhere in the country on any given day, and we do it generally between 500 and 700 shows a year. So there, it would be physically impossible for just 5 people to do them all, I think.
And, you know, everybody has different needs. We have some people who, who have little children who don't like to be away for more than a day, and then we have other people. So with the various things, they mix us up all the time, which I think is also possibly intentional because the ideas get transmitted that way.
Right. Yeah. And also when you're working with different people all the time, every cast brings something different to each part that they do. So it helps keep the show very fresh that way.
So how do they cast? So, and I'll ask you, Barry, so how do they cast you? So are they looking for a type?
Actually, they're looking for 1,000 types in one person.
Right.
You come in, they ask you to bring a song, you stand up in front of them, you sing the song, and while you're singing the song,
they yell
at you. Sing it like a Polish,
construction worker.
Polish construction worker.
All right,
sing
now,
it like a Southern belle.
Yeah, sing it like a Boston umpire. You know, and the whole time you're trying to
singing.
Get through the song. And then when you come back for the audition, they give you a song. They give you about 24 hours to give you because that's part of our job is learning stuff quick.
Right.
And they'll give you a song, and you'll barely have learned it and hardly know the tune. And then they'll do the same thing. All right, now do this song you hardly know, like a Scottish conductor. You know,
exactly.
So. And so politically, will they for example, I'm looking at Mike now, who has a resemblance to Bill Clinton.
That's right.
So they would want you, that you would then forever be labeled, no matter what cast you're in or where they send you, you will be.
Well, that's not necessarily true. You know, I like to think that I am the best Bill Clinton, but Generally, because of the way the roles go, if I have to sing something else that's better for me to sing, quite often somebody else would be Bill Clinton. I mean, sure, it's a hit on the show if I'm not Bill Clinton, but we get by.
Now you have a number, right? You can do a number as Bill Clinton right now.
Well, it depends. Can you all snap your fingers a little bit?
So, yeah. I think we can do that. Yeah.
Well, I'll cue you in to start.
Okay. All right.
Because I wanted to make sure we had a room full of snappers here. So thank you. Now, I guess you all have heard recently. My wife has been out on a long book tour. Just a long, 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 long book tour, far away from me. But I don't want y'all to get the right impression, you see. I do like her being away, but I wanted her to stay out on the road selling the book because I got to be honest with all of you, we're dead broke. I mean, you all heard Hillary say it when we left the White House. We didn't have a dime to our name. Some people think Hillary was telling a joke. That after 8 years, the Clintons were broke. With mansions to buy, we needed a loan because our cash was also blown. She speaks 16 times, and what does she get? A salary enough to pay off the debt. Hey, she lost her shirt, and I lost my pants. You just can't live on an $8 million advance. Yeah, you know, Hillary's like Scarlett in Gone with the Wind. She vowed she'd never go hungry again. When she heard we were half as rich as Mitt, she shoved cash in her pockets till her pantsuit split. She speaks 16 times, and what does she get? A salary a bigger than the national debt. So please buy our books, cause we need the bread. If we get too broke, we'll have to share a bed. Thank you.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Mike Tilford, part of the cast of the Capitol Steps. Well done.
Thank you.
So how long have you been working on that song?
Well, I've been here 2.5 weeks, and I learned it the day I came up. We do a lot of that, though. So
yeah, that's normal. Now your character then, Barry, would be like a typical
my
character.
My signature character would be German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Angela, start your bit.
That's very specific.
Well, there I have others, but right now with the
she
soccer.
Also plays a charwoman from Sochi, but that song is not in the show quite as much as it used to be. So.
when you're in the Berkshires, is the crowd different? I mean, is it different than a Washington crowd or a city crowd?
We get when we're in our home space in D.C., the Ronald Reagan Center, we get a lot of tourists of all ages, generally, and especially around the holidays when people have family and they decide they want to get their family out of the house.
Yeah.
So they say, oh, here, get on the subway, go down.
Which means we get the most obnoxious families.
That's right. But the great thing about the crowds up here is that since, as you say, we've been coming for about 8 years now, every night after when we greet people after the show, people come up and say, we've been coming every single year. Mm-hmm. So they know that they keep us on our game because they've seen the show over and over again.
Yeah. And it's I'm interested in the tourist thing because, I mean, this started out, I guess, being kind of clubby, right, where people would come in who were insiders, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it started out being a thing that they just did on Capitol Hill.
Right.
Like, you know,
at parties.
The Second Amendment Congressional Committee or something would have a birthday mm-hmm. party, and they'd get the Capitol Steps over to do mm-hmm. it. And it just kind of was like that for a while. And then, like, lobbyists would go, well, you know, the Clearwater Corporation's having a big convention. Why don't you guys entertain that? Mm-hmm. And that was sort of a little less Washington insiders. Then we started doing public shows, and it just sort of spread out and out from there.
Right.
Is there anyone who doesn't get it? I mean, in the sense of, I mean, does it play in Albuquerque?
I believe it plays all over, and the reason I believe that is because, in addition, we try to make every issue as accessible as we possibly can. Plus, there are numbers in the show that have nothing to do with politics, like the Sochi Hotel.
That's right.
Number
right.
And we have a number called 10 Pills about all the medications that are
advertised
So. And you know, basically, our show is like a bus. If there's a number you don't get, just wait 2 minutes; another one will come along that might appeal to you.
And having said that caveat, yes, there are definitely people who do not get it. We have, I can't tell you, several times over the years, I've had people, and generally, my parents, my grandparents, they were veterans and everything. But we have done a couple of shows where someone would come up and just say, I can't believe you're making fun of the President of the United States. That's terrible. And it's like, well, this is a show that's only job is to make fun of the President of the United States.
Right.
So why you came here is
you're in the wrong room.
So.
And everyone else, right?
Everyone else. But most particularly, there's a very defensive thing about making fun of the government among some people, when I believe that is probably the best thing as Americans we can do.
So, what always amuses me is when people come up to us, someone will come up to us and say, I think you were entirely too hard on the Democrats and not hard enough on the Republicans, and then they'll leave, and then the next person who comes up says, I think you were entirely too hard on the Republicans and not nearly hard enough on the Democrats.
Right.
And they saw the same show.
Yeah,
and they'll be talking to you at the same time.
Right.
And Sam Donaldson would always say that's how he knew he was doing his job right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how long have you been with the show?
I joined in 1992. They needed a Bill Clinton.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you?
I joined in 1993.
Okay. So let me ask
She was also a Bill Clinton.
Oh, great.
But I moved over to Monica Lewinsky fairly quickly.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So have been there for Clinton and Bush and Obama. Is there a time that is funnier than another?
It's nice. Obama's finally getting funny. It took him a little while.
Yeah.
People had to relax into him, but now he's got, he's got the whole, the NSA thing,
IRS.
And the IRS. So he's gotten a little bit funny. Clinton was just so easy because, number one, we generally are an NPR crowd to a certain extent and things like that. And so on the one hand, people loved him, but on the other hand, you couldn't deny the stuff he was doing and how funny it was. So he was like a goldie. Then Bush came along and we sort of had the opposite thing, which was almost as good, which is like our general crowd basically didn't like him at all, but he was so darn dumb that you could make fun of him. And Obama's been harder. I mean, he's like a reasonable fellow.
He was like, when he first took office, he was like the Mary Richards character. And Mary Tyler Moore, who was who was surrounded by all these crazy
comedians.
Characters, so there was still plenty to poke fun at, if not necessarily at him right away, until we got a sense of who he was and what he was about.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and then he started giving us presents like the Obamacare website, things like that.
Oh, yeah, I mean that was the best. Thank you, thanks, President Obama.
So you have something like the let's use that as an example. Let's use that as the basis of this question. So you have the rollout of the healthcare website. At what point in that in the rollout do you start singing about it? At what point does it start to become part of the Capital Steps culture?
As soon as somebody says this isn't working, immediately.
Actually, just as soon as the huge uproar rose over whether or not they were actually going to have it.
Yeah.
Because then we could make fun of people, number one, for some reason, seeming to not want to help poor people. And we could also make fun of the completely incompetent way they were attempting to do it.
Right.
So we started early with that. We rolled out a song that had a list of things that aren't covered by Obamacare, mostly illness and disease and injury, we discovered.
Yeah.
But, things like that.
So and something like that has legs. That will stay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that now, and it's as
absolutely.
Know, it
I mean,
works.
as long as the House keeps trying to repeal it. What is it? 50 or more times they've tried to repeal it. So as long as it's still it's still an active issue, then
yeah.
we can keep singing about it.
Whereas as other things don't have a shelf life, they'll be here today. They'll be gone tomorrow, and that isn't, I would assume, as attractive.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, actually, anything that just happened if you can throw it in, it gets a great bump. It's just that some things don't live very long.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's good. I think it's better. It creates more turnover. You know, you can do the White House party crashes for like, what, a week or something. Now no one remembers that. No one even knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, but for a brief period, we had a song about them, and it was great for that brief period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of like the short songs better. Because you can get so much more current events in and things mm-hmm. like that.
Well, that's the other thing, too, about what you do is that it's in this, going back to the audience and people getting it. But the hook is always the song, right? I mean, that's those songs are familiar.
Which makes it easier for us when we're learning. We can learn it quickly because we don't have to learn the music. And we don't have to learn the melody and the lyrics. We just have to learn the lyrics.
Right.
So that sort of helps speed things along for us when we have to put something into the show very quickly. And often we will, if it's a real hot button issue that just pops up suddenly, we will work it into an existing song or an existing spoken bit and until we have a chance to develop a whole number about it.
Yeah, that's kind of the way we deal with things. We're not sure if they're going to be news. We'll like throw a line in maybe in the introduction to the show, and if that goes well, we'll give, I don't know, Obama a line to mm-hmm. say about it. And if that goes well, we'll get a verse in a song maybe, mm-hmm. and if it seems like people are on the page, it'll get its whole song.
Right.
So there's,
right.
you know, for something that's we're not sure about, there's more mm-hmm. of a progression.
It's a constant focus group testing process.
So how about like Hobby Lobby? Did that make it into the show?
Oh, yeah. It's there.
Yeah. And that's, but to me, that's funny. Like, just saying that name is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the issue isn't funny, but it's funny.
Right.
Right?
Right. And again, we haven't really done an entire huge thing on just that because that's a really tricky issue to work
right.
around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a funny thing to mention.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
we already had a number in the show that sort of dealt with that issue.
Thing,
so
yeah.
what we did was revise that number to incorporate the Hobby Lobby decision.
It would seem to me, and Elena Newport has been in here.
Our producer.
On the panel, one of the founders, right?
One of the head writers.
Yeah, and head writers. And I know we were talking with her about this, but it's that balance of being funny and not going too far on subjects, you know, like
knowing that there are subjects that, as funny as they might inherently be,
you know,
in a
like
certain
buffer
way,
zones.
Yeah.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like you're not going to do anything
right.
with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, Fred Phelps is in a Westboro church is incredibly hilarious, but that's nothing we can ever address because just the very thing you'd have to address is makes it unfunny in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
are there conversations amongst you, especially those of you, like the two of you, who have been with the troupe for a long time, has our political with Colbert and Jon Stewart and the like, has our appetite for satire changed at all?
I don't know. It seems to be about the same to me, but we operate on a slightly different level
right.
than them in that. You know, we're sort of a musical entertainment, mm-hmm. which sort of puts us in a bit of a different basket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who watched Colbert and Jon Stewart who would never think of going to a musical.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, there are people who like musicals, and we can give them a flavor of that. So,
right.
We still seem to get about the same crowd, and up here, you know, bigger crowds because people keep coming back.
Right,
and back.
Our crowd has been building.
So,
that's great.
As for general, I mean, it does seem like there is way more satire and stuff on the TV now. You have all these great funny people, you know, like Colbert, who mm-hmm. is going to be leaving soon, and Jon Stewart, and the.
Yeah, I'm a little sad about the Colbert thing because I'll
miss that character.
I will miss that character, and frankly, a lot of younger people are getting their news. It's a sad situation when people feel like they have to get their news from Jon Stewart and
right.
Stephen Colbert because the 24-hour news cycle is.
Wasn't
now...
Jon Stewart shocked to win some news award a couple years ago? And he was like, "I'm not a news show. Why are you giving me an award?
Right,
that
right.
shouldn't be like that."
Yeah, because he used to say, "Oh, I come the show right before me is puppets making crank phone calls." You know. So.
Well, we have a song that we're going to go out on. I'll tell people how they can get tickets and find out more about your residency at the Cranwell Resort, and we'll hear "Get Out, Joe." Which
great.
Is,
we'll be there all summer.
Very fun.
Through Labor Day.
The CAP Steps will be at their summer home in the Berkshires, the Cranwell Resort in Lenox, through August 31st. For more information, visit capsteps.com or cranwell.com. Barry and Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great pleasure.
The polls look great for 2016, not a rival to be seen. I'm getting the nomination. I'll be president and queen. Oh God, here's Biden come to ruin all my fun. Can I keep him out? Is he going to run?
I'm getting in, you're gonna see. I have wowed the country as VP with real experience to show. And walking bold.
Get out, Joe. Get out, Joe. Just back away, please be nice. Get out, Joe. Get out, Joe. Or I'll freeze you like a block of ice.
I don't care. I'm going to stay. Though my chances aren't great, the facts never bothered me anyway.
I will give you a good job if you just leave me alone. You could be a secretary
of state.
No, the kind that answers phones.
It's time to see what I can do to test my limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no bleeping me. I'm free. Let it go, let it go. I can beat the Republican.
Let it go, let it go. I am the better man. I'll run so hard your head will spin.
What's your secret plan?
With Bill as my first lady, I will win.